Our region is dotted with trails and sort of trails, opportunities to take a hike in the woods or the mountains or the high desert and enjoy all that nature has to offer. Now enter the Bigfoot Trail. It is a long-distance hiking trail in the mountains of Northern California with a short section on the Oregon side of the state line. Don't look for signs saying Bigfoot Trail. It is not quite official yet, but it will be if today's guest has his way. Michael Kaufman is an educator and author living and working in Humboldt County, but clearly getting out and about the state of Jefferson on a regular basis. He's written a couple of books on conifers in the region, with another on manzanitas due out later this year. He's making his third appearance on the Jefferson Exchange. Michael Kaufman, welcome back.
Hi, Jeffrey. Thanks for having me.
Always good to have you. Let's go way back, way, way back, because you're not a West Coast native, and it's one of the more intriguing parts about you that you really did fall in love with this part of the country.
Yeah, I really did. I grew up in Virginia and studied biology most of my life there, and developed an affinity for the plants. The Appalachians are actually quite similar, especially the southern Appalachians are quite similar to the Klamath Mountains, so it was almost a natural progression that I developed my love of plants and the natural world in the southern Appalachians, and then found myself really exploring more and more in the Klamath and finding those connections between many plant species that are related but yet a continent apart.
Was there some point in your life when you said, I've really got to live there on the West Coast?
You know, I moved here right after college, and I worked in for Los Angeles County Office of Education when I first moved out here, and started to really explore wilderness and wild places in Southern California. And believe it or not, there's some amazing wilderness in Southern California, but it's often preserved as mountaintops. And when I got to the top of those mountains, there were often these groves of conifers that you wouldn't find anywhere else in the region except for on these mountaintops. So that really piqued my interest. And that's how I developed my love of conifers and also biogeography, just understanding where those plants lived and why they live there. So with that, I found my way into the Redwoods at Humboldt State to finalize my degree, and luckily found work here and have never left.
I'm curious about the stuff you were finding up on mountaintops in Southern California. Those include bristlecone pines?
You know, there's no bristlecones that far south. Bristlecones grow in the White Mountains of basically kind of south central California, I guess you could say, near Bishop. Mm-hmm. But they don't get much further south than that in California. But there's another species down there called the limber pine. It's a five-needle pine, somewhat related to the bristlecone. And that's one of the ones I'm referring to. They grow on a handful of mountaintops down there, but are much more common throughout maybe you could say the Rockies and Nevada.
Are they as hardy and as old as some of the bristlecones?
Yeah, they get pretty darn old. In the San Gabriel Mountains up on Mount Baden-Powell, there's some, they think, 2,000-year-old limber pines.
Wow. So let's talk about the Bigfoot Trail itself. This is how old is the concept of it, and what's the genesis of it?
Yeah, good question. It started out as sort of this pipe dream of mine, I guess you could say. I have always been a fan of nature, and I've always been a long-distance hiker, at least since the early 2000s when I hiked the Continental Divide Trail through the Rockies from Canada to Mexico. So, when I finished that trail, I ended up moving straight to Humboldt County and starting at Humboldt State, and I had that wanderlust. And I started to just pore over maps. I became really good friends with a botanist here, John Sawyer, who is a big conifer nut as well, and he was a professor at Humboldt State. And we started poring over maps and looking at connectivity between the wilderness areas, because the Yola Bolies are really at the southern tip of the Klamath Mountains. It's south of Redding, up in the mountains to the west. And then there's a big gap between the Yola Bolies and the Trinity Alps, and then even between the Trinity Alps and the Russians, and the Russians and the Marbles, and the Marbles and the Red Buttes, and the Red Buttes and the Siskiyous, and then the Siskiyous to the coast, it's not contiguous wilderness. So we sort of started brainstorming this idea of a long trail through the Klamath Mountains, and then not just a long trail, but a long trail that celebrated the plants. And so with a couple of short side trips, basically this 360-mile route, you can see 32 species of conifers. And to just give you a comparison, when I hiked the Continental Divide Trail, basically almost 3,000 miles all the way from Montana down into New Mexico, I wasn't as good a botanist, but I only saw 25 species of conifers on that whole hike.
So only 25?
Only 25. So we are, again, I've said this before on your show, but we are in the hot spot for conifer diversity, one of the hot spots in the world. So I think it's an exciting concept in that respect. It's not just a hike, but it's a hike to really understand the mountains and the ecology.
And so there are sections, I mean, some of this is road, I gather. Some of this is actual trail. Some of this is barely much more than deer path, I think.
Yeah, there's a whole combination. It's walkable now. There's probably a few ways that would be better to integrate into the trail, especially actually from the Oregon border back into the Siskiyous from Bolin Peak. There's a group in Cave Junction, Crescent City, that's working on a new single track that would remove about 20 miles of road walking, and that trail's all flagged, but it's not single track yet. You can walk it, but it's not single track. So part of my goal is to, with this Bigfoot Trail Alliance, is to develop a community and organization that can oversee the creation of new trail, the maintenance of old trail. For instance, in the Siskiyou Wilderness, as you drop down into the Smith River, there's about a 15-mile stretch that's in pretty rough shape, and I don't really recommend walking that. People did walk the Bigfoot Trail last summer and successfully navigated that section, but it's pretty tough. So these are the sort of things that I hope that bringing attention to the trail and developing this trail alliance will help solve.
We have much more to talk about the Bigfoot Trail concept and the Bigfoot Trail Alliance with Michael Kaufman, one of the originators of the concept. And you can join us here in the Jefferson Exchange when we come back from the break, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Back with Michael Kaufman and the Bigfoot Trail Alliance in a minute 25. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our topic today is the Bigfoot Trail. It's an actual 400-mile circuit through the rugged mountains of Northern California with a little stretch on the Oregon side of the state line. Not quite an official trail yet, and that's the reason we're talking to Michael Kaufman, one of the originators of the concept, about it, because it'll take a little work to turn this into an official trail. Perhaps with some more consistent surfaces from one end to the other. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the Bigfoot Trail, 800-838-3760 throughout our listening area, 800-838-3760. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Is it identified, Michael, anywhere as the Bigfoot Trail by sign?
No, it's not. Okay. No, it's purely a concept at this point. But that being said, there's a pretty passionate group that's helping to try to get it established, and there's also a passionate group of people that are going to get out there and hike it. There were, I hiked it in 2009 for the first time. There was a gentleman from the Bay Area that actually walked up the coast from the Bay Area, jumped on the trail in Crescent City, and then walked back home. This was in 2012, and that was a pretty amazing story. And then three folks were on the trail last year that completed it.
Three, okay. So, not a lot of, I mean, so it's at this point, and just looking on the web to try to find Bigfoot Trail Alliance, finding some very new things. The Alliance itself looks like you've only had a Facebook page for about a week now.
That's right. This is a whole new step forward. And, again, you know, I just feel like this is something our region can benefit from. It will draw attention to the Klamath Mountains. I mean, even in Eureka, I mentioned the Klamath Mountains, and folks have never heard of them. And I just think it's such an underappreciated region. The biodiversity here is second to none in North America and the temperate regions in North America. And it's our backyard, and this is just a way to, you know, whether you hike all 360 miles or whether you get out and hike a couple of miles into the Russian wilderness to see the aftermath of last year's Whites Fire, whatever it might be, there's reason to just get out and really appreciate and understand the Klamath Mountains through this trail.
I'm glad you brought up the concept of the Klamath Mountains themselves, because I know it does draw some blank looks, from me including at times. I mean, because you look at some maps and it says Klamath Mountains, some it says Siskiyous, depending on where you're looking. Are the Siskiyous part of the Klamaths, other way
yeah,
around?
Yeah, the Siskiyous are a sub-range of the Klamath Mountains. And what I think most Oregonians refer to as the Siskiyous, because the Siskiyous are entirely in Oregon, except for a little patch that runs down basically to the intersection of the main fork and of the Klamath and the Trinity River in California. So, you know, when you're in Oregon, you say the Klamath Siskiyous, you're referring to both because it's all you have in Oregon. But as you move south in the Klamath, there's other sub-ranges like the Marble Mountains or the Trinity Alps, the Salmon Mountains, the Yolabolis. So it's a little bit more differentiated. The Klamath Mountains are a little bit more differentiated in California. I've actually created a map to try to explain that on my website, Conifer Country. It's also in my book.
Okay, I was going to ask you, in fact, where it goes, what can be seen from it. So let's start with the where it goes. What are some of the obvious places where you might be able to get to where you could get onto the Bigfoot Trail?
Sure. Well, Crescent City in Redwood National Park. I just hiked up there on Sunday on the Bigfoot Trail. Spectacular stretch on Little Ball Hills along the South Fork of the Smith River. You can also access it from the road between Happy Camp and O'Brien. Whether you go up into the Red Buttes from there or into the Siskiyous Wilderness, and you can probably still get there right now. I don't think that road's closed. I don't think there's been enough snow up there. You can also, from Syed Valley on the Klamath, and then just various other stretches in wilderness, whether it's the Marbles, from Etna up into the Russians, you can jump on the Bigfoot Trail. It's a little harder to get to in the Trinity Alps, but up Big Flat or from Junction City, the trail goes right through Hayfork, California, and then it begins up out of Corning at the Ides Cove Trailhead.
So this is seriously a backcountry kind of thing. So
yeah.
It looks like you're pretty far from civilization.
Yeah, you really are. But generally, if you can walk 10 to 15 miles a day and you want to do this whole trail, you're only about 5 days between resupply points. And, you know, one of the women who hiked it last year, Sage Clegg, she decided in Oregon she was going to jump over and go to Oregon Caves. So, there's all sorts of different ways you could do this hike, and she wanted to have a meal at the chateau at the caves and spend the night there. So she chose her own adventure in Oregon, and it worked out great for her. So.
All right, so there are some day hikes possible on some stretches of the Bigfoot Trail.
Definitely. And here's the other exciting part. You know, I've launched this Bigfoot Trail Alliance, but I'm also working with a map cartographer here in Humboldt who's got some skills, and we're going to put out a whole new map set. It'll be about 23 maps, and you could take any one of those maps and get out and explore a section of the trail. I've basically designed about 20, 21 sections of this trail based on how that fits on a map and the length of those sections, and those maps should be ready by, I'm hoping 2 months for the hiking season. We're going to have those done.
All right, so you want that ready for springtime for sure.
Definitely,
yeah,
definitely. Okay. Now, I do have a downloadable map set on my website now, but it's older. The maps aren't as good, but you can get that now for free on BigfootTrail.org.
And you also have, I notice, videos of various stretches too. Not all of them, certainly, but segment by segment, there are videos.
Yep.
You've been a busy guy.
Well, I did most of that in 2009.
Oh, that was the original hike.
I've added to that a little bit. But.
All right, so Michael, based on the pictures, this is quite rugged in places. Let's talk about the relative difficulty and the kinds of things that a hiker should bring if they're going to be taking on the Bigfoot Trail.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to travel this whole route, you have to be comfortable with wilderness travel. There's no two ways about it. It starts at, the Ides Cove Trailhead is my recommended starting point, and that's basically 2 hours from Corning, so it's not even easy to get to the trailhead. And then as you wander through the Yolabolis, the first time I hiked it, I ended up getting off on a wrong ridge and walking for a couple hours the wrong direction before I realized what I was doing.
A couple hours, really?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a beautiful walk on a ridgeline, but I was on the wrong ridgeline, so I had to backtrack and go back on the ridgeline I needed to be on. So it takes a you need to have a good sense of the terrain, you know, if you're going to get out there. But I have heard that the trails in the Ullabullies were worked on last summer, so that's exciting news. Apparently they're a little easier to follow than when I did it in 09. And that was also following two fire years in the Ullabullies, so when a fire burns over a trail, sometimes it can disappear. So anyway, the Ullabullies are definitely rugged. It drops into the South Fork Trinity River country, which is spectacular and beautiful. And that's pretty easy to follow. And then you follow some roads into Hay Fork. The Hay Fork areas, you know, that's probably one of the areas that you need to be careful, because there's a lot of illegal activity that goes on. But if you stick to the roads, you're on a public right-of-way, and nobody's had any issues through there. And then from Hay Fork, you go up into the Trinity Alps, and it's definitely a seldom-used trail that you travel from the Canyon Creek Trailhead up into the Trinities. You have to cross the Stewart's Fork. So if it's early season and there's a lot of snow, it could be a high creek, you know. So you've got to be aware of all the elements, and I mention all these things in the write-up to make people aware of the challenges out there.
Given, Michael, the pristine nature of some of the country traversed, any hesitation about attracting more attention to it?
You know, sure, there is some hesitation there, but I'm starting to realize, and I could talk about this, could be a whole episode of the Jefferson Exchange, but I've been an educator for 20 years now, and I'm seeing less and less connection with the natural world in the students that I work with, middle school to high school students.
Less connection as time goes on?
Yeah, as time goes on. And even into, you know, I've taught some courses at Humboldt State, and I've seen the same thing. So this is my way, I think, of trying to develop that connection for people, because it's not just a way to get out and be extreme in nature and climb the highest peak or whatever, but I'm challenging people to connect with the trees, to understand the natural world as you walk it. And that's my stance on it. You know, I just feel like it's an important thing, and the Klamath Mountains, you know, as I've already said, are underappreciated. So, but I hear what you're saying, yeah. But, you know, you think about the Pacific Crest Trail and the movie Wild and the impacts that's taken. I mean, I don't think the Bigfoot Trail is ever going to get to that point. I think they're estimating thousands of people will start the Pacific Crest Trail this year, and that's going to have huge impacts in Southern California, where springs are drying up because of the drought. So, you know, we might one day get to 20 or 30 people hiking the Bigfoot Trail in a year, but hopefully people just hike different sections, spend the day out there, and really get to know the Klamath.
I was going to ask you about the connection with the movie Wild, because I know it has engendered more interest in long distance or through hikes, but
yeah.
I wonder if that makes this a good moment in history to talk about a cool new trail.
Yeah, you know, it's serendipitous. I didn't even think about that until last night. I haven't seen the movie, but I've heard many people that love the story, and I think it's great that the book has brought attention to getting outside and trying to connect with nature through a walk.
Michael Kaufman's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the major promoter of the Bigfoot Trail and the Bigfoot Trail Alliance. We'll talk about who's in that alliance as we move along here. Michael's an author and educator living and working in Humboldt County. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the Bigfoot Trail and 400 miles of tromping through the Klamath Mountains. 800-838-3760, anywhere in our listening area. 800-838-3760, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Julie in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange and Michael Kaufman.
Hi, Jeffrey. Thank you. Hi, Michael. I might have missed this while I was calling in. I think, Jeffrey, you asked the question about the influx of people coming into that wilderness area and what impact that might have, something to that effect. And my question is more about Bigfoot himself or herself, the actual creatures. Are you naming it the Bigfoot Trail because there have been sightings? And if so, are we maybe interfering on what little habitat they have left? And I've never seen one and don't know if they're real or not, but those are my questions.
All right. Thanks for that, Julie. Appreciate
Thanks, Julie.
It.
I don't believe in Bigfoot, but I do believe in the mythic quality of our ancient forests and the evolution that has occurred here and still occurs here. And I think Bigfoot represents that sort of mythic quality of ancient forest evolution that we have with all of the amazing species that interact and cross paths and have evolved on, say, the serpentine soils of the Josephine ophiolite or in the bogs and fens that exist on the sides of mountaintops with, say, carnivorous pitcher plants or carnivorous pinguicula plants that live on cliff sides. So, you know, I thought about naming it something different. I thought about the Ancient Forest Trail. I thought about the Biodiversity Trail. But I really just think Bigfoot Trail is catchy.
You marketer, you.
And I think you kind of need that if you're gonna present something like this, and it generates interest. So anyway, as far as the traffic and interfering with habitat, I think that could definitely happen, but it's definitely happening even more so on the Pacific Crest Trail. And the Bigfoot Trail only overlaps for about 30 miles with the Pacific Crest Trail. So I also see this as a possible side route for Pacific Crest Trail hikers through the Klamath Mountains if they want to experience more of the conifer diversity.
Where do the Bigfoot and Pacific Crest Trails overlap?
It actually overlaps for about 50 feet in the Russian wilderness. It's not very long, but then it also overlaps from Marble Valley to Devil's on the Devil's Ridge above Syed Valley, and I think that's about 30 mile stretch. I should know that fact, but I haven't figured it out yet for sure.
Okay. You're carrying a few things around in your head these days.
Yeah.
About this. So who makes up the alliance, the Bigfoot Trail Alliance? I know again when I went to Google it, and I noticed you have a few more things up there today. I'll get to in a second, but you mentioned some people, for example, in the Illinois Valley, who have taken part in this, and other people with bits of interest here and there.
Yeah, I'll give a shout out to my buddy Justin Rohde, who's in the Illinois Valley. He's an avid hiker, and he's also highly engaged with helping to connect the Bigfoot Trail to the Pacific Crest Trail. The other name for that is the Costa Crest Trail. So basically, he's helping to spearhead, along with some other folks over in the area, the establishment of that route. You know, there's a few other individuals, like I said, that have hiked it who are passionate about trying to help with the alliance. I've got friends in the area here who are passionate about it. So as I develop this Bigfoot Trail Alliance, I'm looking to establish nonprofit status, develop a board of directors that can oversee the development and the community around this trail. So I've looked into doing it myself. It's expensive. It's time-consuming. So my hope is that by bringing some awareness to this goal of the alliance, that people will jump on board and help me get this going with the Kickstarter campaign that I have.
I noticed that was what I was going to talk about. We have Kickstarter, and I noticed today, just Googling Bigfoot Trail Alliance, we also got Kick Track and Kick Spy, and you've been busy.
Well, I think those other things are bots that find the Kickstarter, and then they come after me and they try to get me to pay them money to advertise my campaign. I haven't quite figured out this crowdsourcing thing yet, but the Kickstarter thing is legitimate. It's what I'm doing is I'm asking people to help fund the paperwork and early trail work of the Bigfoot Trail, and basically what Kickstarter does is it allows you to offer, quote, rewards for that time, or for that money. So I've got a series of rewards that I'll offer back, everything from a free download of the new map set to posters that I'm going to get printed here in the next couple weeks of the Bigfoot Trail, to just a simple Bigfoot Trail Alliance sticker, and also maybe a printed map set if you're willing to give up to $100. And I'm also offering memberships for the first couple of years. So I'm just trying to get this going. It's going to be really low-key. I'm thinking most of the money the first few years is going to go exclusively to trail work to get this thing so that it is a little bit easier to walk. There's a couple of stretches, like I said, in the Siskiyous in particular, that it takes some time and energy. You're not moving faster than, you know, maybe a mile an hour, whereas generally you're moving 3 miles an hour when you're walking through the mountains. So.
Right. I see it's a very modest goal. You got a $2,500 goal on the Bigfoot Trail Alliance on Kickstarter. So far, one backer, $100. But 39 days to go.
Yeah. I literally launched it right before I came on the air because I wanted to see what sort of impact this would have, and then I'm gonna, you know, I've got other ideas to get the word out about it in the future over the next 39 days.
I'm looking at the logo for the first time. I didn't notice the part of the Bigfoot in the corner.
That's my wife. She's a graphic designer. She did a nice job with that.
So nonprofit status, you said, you're in the process of drawing up the papers yet? Have you even gotten that far?
Well, I've researched it. I know what I'm going to do. I know there's a foundation that will actually help you apply, and that costs money. So that will, you know, I work full time, so I don't really have time to do. It's apparently 50 to 100 pages of paperwork. So there's foundation that's going to help with that process. And that, like I said, it's going to cost $1,500, and you know, I'll oversee that process. And I've got folks that are interested in being on the board of directors. So you know, I've got a list of those people. So once this Kickstarter's over, I'm going to touch base with everybody. I'm going to get that board of directors together and get the paperwork rolling.
All right, we'll talk about the work that comes ahead to make the Bigfoot Trail a reality. The Bigfoot Trail Alliance is the idea of Michael Kaufman, who's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We'll talk more with him and take your phone calls and emails when we return to the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 30. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today, once again, is Michael Kaufman, author and educator living and working in Humboldt County, a big expert on conifers in the region and an avid and dedicated trail hiker. And he's now come up with the idea for the Bigfoot Trail, which is a 360-mile trail running roughly from the Corning area down along the I-5 corridor up through Etna and Hay Fork and Syad Valley, right into the Oregon side of the state line, ultimately ending up near Crescent City. 360 miles and a whole lot of conifer species, and as yet, no sightings of Bigfoot for sure. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the process of turning the concept into a real bona fide trail. Phone number on the exchange, 800-838-3760, around the listening area, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Is this all federal land we're talking about here, Michael?
Yeah. There's a couple of stretches through Hay Fork that you're on. You're walking through private land, but it's a main road. So.
And what kinds of conversations, if any, have you had with federal officials at this point?
Yeah, good question. I've met with some trail folks on different national forests over the last couple of years. Everybody's really excited about the idea of getting this going. So I've basically got a list of all those folks, and I'm hoping to ramp up the communication with them as I move forward with developing some funding. And my hope is that I can send money to certain projects on different forests due to this Trail Alliance. Maybe send money to the Siskiyou Mountain Club there in Ashland to work on some stretches in the Red Buttes, for instance. So that's my plan, is to generate funds and send them directly for trail work. And this, you know, the Siskiyou Mountain Club is really the model for how this sort of public funds can be used. You know, they do some grant writing too, but how public funds can be used to keep our trails accessible.
I'm looking at, is it, I don't know, 5, 6 national forests that this traverses?
Let me think. One, two, I think it's 5, mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it goes through the national park as well, right there at Crescent City.
At the Redwood National Park, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's take a call here. We have Joe in McKinleyville on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Michael Kaufman. We're talking about the Bigfoot Trail.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I'm pretty excited about the trail, and it sounds like a great idea. And sort of just as a counterpoint to the concern about public access degrading the wilderness to some extent, I think that getting some amount of public traffic through places like that will sort of be a counterweight to some of the illegal activity, because if there's a certain amount of public in there, that'll probably keep away folks who are interested in doing illegal things. So I think there may be actually some benefit there. I'm kind of bummed about how much area around here really is less safe, like how much of our public lands isn't safe because of these illegal activities.
We're talking about marijuana grows and things like that?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's a euphemism for that.
I agree 100%. I'd love to see a steady stream of folks walking through that area around Hay Fork, Trinity Pines area, and reclaiming our public lands. I mean, this is for us, you know. This is our place. It's not for somebody to make some profit, and, you know. But anyway, yeah, Joe, that's a great point. I really appreciate you saying that because I feel the same way.
Have there been many encounters with folks out there in the woods for hikers? I mean, there aren't many hikers there.
No, when I first did it, it wasn't even an issue. I mean, that's amazing. That tells you how much things have changed in 5 years. I didn't see any illegal growing activities. But basically what I heard from the folks last summer were along a few of the roads around Hay Fork, they saw marijuana being grown behind fences, you know, in private residences, and also along the trail. I guess the one part that I had forgotten about was the section from Junction City up to Canyon Creek. There's a lot of grows going on. But again, it's just people, they have their houses, they're growing it behind their fences, and you're walking along public access on a road. So there weren't any issues. Everybody said that they were pleasantly surprised at how safe they felt last summer.
Joe, thanks for that call. Appreciate it. Here's another one from Roger in Redcrest, California. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Michael Kaufman.
Oh.
Go ahead, Roger.
I've hiked all of the wilderness areas, I'm 65 years old. And I'm getting lost here. I really like the idea of this trail and would like to support it. But I do have a question about the foxtail pines.
My favorite conifer.
Oh, well, it's one of my favorites, too.
All right. What's your question?
I know it's closely related to the bristlecone. And has there been any extensive age comparisons?
Age comparisons, yeah. So basically the story of the foxtail is it's now a California endemic. It means it only grows in California. It grows in two places, the southern Sierra Nevada and in our Klamath Mountains. And they believe these populations got isolated separated about a million years ago. The foxtails in the Klamath are actually the largest specimens in the world for foxtail. So they're bigger than the ones by size in the Sierra. But the Sierra, they believe, are actually older. They get to an older age than the ones in the Klamath. And they're also very closely related to the bristlecones. So about 40 million years ago, this common ancestor, they believe, arose. And then through tectonic movement and climate changes, these different populations of bristlecones and foxtails became isolated and relictual on top of mountaintops. And we have, I think it's about 30 different populations spread out across from the Yolobolis up through the Marble Mountains. So a spectacular tree. Definitely can see them on the Bigfoot Trail, and I would think about 10 different locations. So
how high do you usually find them?
They grow about 6,500 feet and above. So they're one of the two Sky Island, I like to call them, conifers. Also the whitebark pine grow about 7,000 feet and above. So those are the ones that only survive on the mountaintops across the highest peaks of the Klamath Mountains.
Now, this is not an uncommon kind of story in the Klamath Mountains, which I think is one of the major points of having a Bigfoot trail, is that you're getting into islands of diversity, things that you don't see anywhere else.
Right. Yeah, you cannot see the northern foxtail pine anywhere else in the world but the Klamath Mountains. It's pretty exciting. We've got an endemic conifer, the Brewer spruce, most people are familiar with, and a couple other near-endemic conifers, the Baker cypress and the Port Orford cedar.
And so the Port Orford, and somebody I saw recently in Pine, something online about Camassiparis species that were similar between the East and West Coast.
That was my blog, yeah.
Was you? Okay, Camassiparis lawsoniana.
Yeah, there's a Camassiparis on the East Coast, too, and another one over in Asia.
So it's a Port Orford cedar or something that looks like a Port Orford cedar, similar to it.
Yeah, very similar, same genus.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So give us an example of some other things outside of conifer. Step out of outside your comfort zone for a moment, but other kinds of things, flora and fauna, that you can find in in the Klamath Mountains that you don't find other places.
Yeah, well, there's an endemic chipmunk. I'm not the best mammalogist, but I know some about mammals, but there's a Siskiyou chipmunk that you can see in serpentine areas of basically northwest California, southwest Oregon. I also have put up on my website, bigfoottrail.org, I've put up all sorts of lists of different plants and animals that you can see. So I've got a bird list. I've got pictures of some of the plants. One of my other hopes is that I team up with the California Native Plant Society or maybe the Native Plant Society of Oregon as well, and we develop a plant list for the entire length of this route. I think that would be a really cool resource to have. So as you walk the trail, maybe the list would include the things you'd see in the south, central, and northern parts of the trail or something like that. So you could, you know, as you see things, you could have a reference point and be able to understand what you were seeing. So
I'm looking at the Bigfoot Trail on a relief map now, and it does seem like it is a lot of ridgetops, more than valley floors.
Yeah. We've got a GPX track from last summer that we're starting to generate some data from, but it's amazing amount of elevation gain and loss on this trail, something like 40,000 feet up and down as you do the whole length. But actually, I'm not even sure that's right. It might be higher. But there are a lot of ridge walks, but there are also a lot of walks along the river valleys. So it walks up the South Fork of the Salmon. I'm sorry, the North Fork of the Salmon into the Marble Mountains, and you have to cross that about six times. You also have to drop down and cross, of course, at Syed Valley, you cross the Klamath. And the interesting thing about that crossing is that's something called a water gap. The Klamath River basically cuts through the Klamath Mountains, and that rarely happens where a river cuts through a mountain range. So that's the lowest, besides when you end at the ocean, that would be the lowest point on most of the route. So, yeah, there's a lot of up and down, but there's a lot of spectacular ridge walks.
The process ahead, you got the Kickstarter and that just started before you came on the program today.
Yeah.
So you're trying to raise some money to do some trail work. I have to get further into this with the federal agencies that control the land. Any possibility you'd have to go through the NEPA process and produce an environmental impact statement? That probably isn't the Forest Service and not you, but
yeah, that's a good question. I mean, those are all things that I'm going to have to start looking into. But I've talked to other people who have started trail concepts in other areas, and it sounds like just the awareness and really getting the word out and getting people out hiking it is a major step and generating interest so that again, I crowdsource, so to speak, people that help me to do this, make this project a reality, people that are interested and passionate. And based on the callers today and other feedback I've gotten over the past 5 years with this information out there, there's a lot of people interested in helping. So that's what I'm asking for now with this Kickstarter.
This is not the kind of day hike, though, for a lot of people, though. I can see the more I look at this map, Syed Valley, one of the bigger communities along the way, and then Hay Fork and Junction City.
Right.
That's really about it, it seems like, in terms of actual pockets of hamlets or communities here.
Yeah, you can, like I said, you can access Oregon Caves pretty quick. You can also, in the Trinity Alps, there's actually a road into the Trinity Alps to a place called Big Flat. And currently, there is a private, I guess it's kind of a ranch area that people can stay. It's a vacation destination. And the woman there has been very generous. You can send her packages, and she will, she doesn't go to town that often, but if you send it soon enough in advance, she'll have it waiting for you so you can walk right to your package in Big Flat in the middle of the Trinity Alps. So there's ways to resupply. Post office in Junction City, which doesn't have a lot of supplies, but Hay Fork's got plenty of stuff, a couple grocery stores.
In both of those communities, Junction City and Hay Fork, Junction City west of Weaverville and Hay Fork a little southwest of Junction City, you're actually getting out of national forest land. Are there any public lands that have to cross, or is it all just roads back into the forest at that point?
Well, there's some old trails through there, mm-hmm. and part of this is going to be a long-term goal of, can we get those trails reestablished? I've looked for them, not extensively, but I haven't been able to find them. But they're on maps, So that would be another piece of this, is to reroute a single track into Hay Fork and out of Hay Fork, up over Hay Fork Valley, Lookout, other things like that.
Yeah, I see one solid line and two dotted ones around Hay Fork.
Yeah, there's three options. Actually, there's two options. One of those options doesn't exist. That's the trail that was on a map. And, you know, there's other exciting things happening. There's organizations further south in Colusa County. Tuliomi is another sort of, KS Wild of Central California, I guess. And they want this trail to connect all the way to Clear Lake. So I'm in talks with them about extending this trail. That would add a couple of conifers. It would add a whole other set of wilderness areas, the Yuki Wilderness and Cache Creek Wilderness. So this trail is by no means finalized. I'm hoping maybe it expands to 700 miles. The sky's the limit, and that's what I think is really exciting about this, is we start to get people together and get people talking who are passionate about long-distance hiking and natural history, and securing public right-of-ways through our private lands, or our public lands. I think great things can happen.
Is there any concern, given the fact that a lot of this is in wilderness, or at least skirts wilderness, like in the Red Buttes, any concern about any changes to scenery along the trail caused by extractive industry or anything like that?
No. I think, I think it, especially once you get north of Junction City into the Trinity Alps and those wilderness areas further north, it's a pretty solid stretch where the extractive resources we don't have to worry about. But, yeah, between the Yola Bolis and Junction City, I think there's a lot of work that can be done.
And a lot of work ahead, clearly.
Yeah.
All right, Michael Kaufman is one of the creators of the concept of the Bigfoot Trail. The Bigfoot Trail Alliance is now up and working. Kickstarter campaign just went online this morning looking for some income to make the Bigfoot Trail a reality. You can find it at bigfoottrail.org, linked from our website at jeffexchange.org. Michael Kaufman, always good to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks, Jeffrey. I appreciate it.
All right, take care.
All right.